Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. And I love this stuff because I know that my guest is coming with a couple of things that I truly, honestly deem very expensive. Emily, thank you, your time. That commodity, my God, many have misused it. And I thank you so much for coming and spending such good, expensive stuff with us. The other is your journey. In it houses you, how you were, what you were, and how you overcame your victories, your defeat, your strength, weaknesses, all of it. And it is my pleasure to create a space by which you are able to share all of those things so that we can become better human spirits while we occupy this beautiful planet called Earth. Emily, thank you for coming to Threads of Enlightenment.
Thank you so much for having me, Ken. It's such a privilege and an honor to be here. And one of my top values is also time, because it's that one resource that, you know, we can never get back. And there's nothing I would rather be doing with my time on an early morning like this than having a deep conversation with a new friend. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming. And I am very excited about this. I told you how you were prompted on my spirit to bring you and have this conversation. Emily, I want you to tell the folks all those beautiful things that you have given birth to right now, that the female side of our this powerful house that we are can gain access with knowledge and move forward in areas that are a little different that I can't wait to talk about. Tell them everything that you have. You go ahead, girl. Just pour it on them,
man. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, let me hear Ken a little bit more try to explain it. That was fun to hear.
Like, I was going to let you do that. Yeah, and you see me going with it, and I'm like, no, let me just give it to her. Let her do it.
So hello, everybody. My name is Emily Jane, and I'm the founder of Mujamoon. So Mujamoon is an online platform, my online community, where I guide women beyond all of this fear and all of this frustration that we feel around our fertility and our menstruation, whether we're fearful of becoming pregnant, whether we're fearful that we won't become pregnant, the ways that we feel so frustrated around needing to go through the experience of menstruation on a regular basis. And I'm just here to really guide women back into the truth of the fact that you are a cyclical being, you have a cyclical essence, and that really deeply connecting to your womb is just one framework and yet another way to really experience the full depths and the full expansiveness of spirituality. And that every lesson that we want to learn on the macro and the micro is also waiting for us to explore and discover within our monthly womb cycle. So I teach holistic reproductive health and sexual wellness so that women can really get grounded through accurate information about the ways that their body works, about the ways that their hormones work, so they can actually learn to take care of themselves in a way that makes sense for our cyclical physiology, because so many of us are just totally kept in the dark about how our bodies work and the fact that our needs are different at different points in the cycle, etc. And then really what comes up and out of cultivating this spiritual and scientific connection with your body and with your moon cycle is just a life that is filled with greater ease and greater depth and greater vibrancy as you learn to flow with your flow and you learn to work with your body and really ride the magical waves of what it means to be a creatrix and what it means to have this creative energy center of your womb. And how to really work with that rather than unconsciously move through life working against it without knowing that you're working against it, because you just aren't in touch with the truth of what it really means to be a woman, what it really means to cycle and have a cyclical essence. So I teach group programs. I teach one-on-one. I love hosting community workshops just online on Zoom every few months. I have some a la carte website recordings on my website, and they're all about different aspects of body literacy. So my, you know, beyond the woo-woo, my official title is a certified fertility awareness educator. And I teach a cycle tracking framework called Fertility Awareness Method. That's a natural, conscious contraception method that's been proven to be up to 99% effective for avoiding pregnancy. So it's a really, really exciting new field to be a part of, and just empowering women to chart their cycles, understand their body, and really deeply connect to their birthright, which is the power of their womb.
You did such a good job. There's no way I could have explained with such eloquence that you did that entire thing. Mine would have been a lot more crude and unprofessional. So thank you so much. I love all of that information that you give to us, because this is a vital part of understanding one's self. That, and again, coming from the side of a female, we are society programs us, especially women. We all are programmed, both men and women, but women especially are programmed to be less than. And from the male point of view, and I think that is absolutely madness, we are equal in spirit, soul, and body. The same value for a man, spirit, is the same value for a woman. The same value for a woman's soul is the same value for a man's. The same value for a woman's body is the same value for a man. So I don't understand this nonsense that we are trying to devalue someone because of their gender, which is absolutely one of the programmings that we as a society have to change. I want you to go back, Emily, talk to me about, I call it the lab, we call it family, where we have these scientists called mom and dad. They've entered this world through trauma. They perceive the world through a space of trauma. They now, from all the information they have gathered, they are going to now begin to program you and I. Talk to us about your family. How was that?
What a question. What a question. Where do I begin? The lab of the family. So, yeah, I mean, I love the way that you, you know, structure this interview and invite people on, because it's so interesting when I talk to people and tell them what I do for a living, because there tends to be this idea that, like, I do this work because I was just set up really well by some super empowering, forward-thinking home where my mother role modeled to love your menstruation, and where my father told me I was a powerful woman. But of course, the complete and total opposite is true, which is I grew up in a house that was very traditional and very religious, in the sense that bodies and cycles and sex and menstruation were never, ever spoken of, except to tell me that, you know, this was a sin and don't interact with your body, don't touch your body, dating is bad, all of this is awful, this is a part of yourself that you should repress, that you should shut down, that you should ignore. And of course, I was provided with no information as a young woman, as a teenager, with really how to care for menstruation other than just being given some hygiene products in my house, right? And so, like so many women, I went through this initiatory phase of puberty just with total shame, right? Just with total embarrassment basically, the default and the blueprint and the baseline was that menstruation and my cycle was something awful, and that it was a curse to be a woman, right? And it was an awful thing to be a woman. We're here on this earth because Eve messed up and she ate that apple, right? And so all of these kind of traditional biblical disempowering concepts around what it means to be a woman, to be less than, you know, the church is the place for the men to speak. It's a place for you to listen, maybe prepare for some lunch for us if you're lucky. And rather than really anybody really guiding me and initiating me from girlhood into womanhood. So, you know, I suffered with menstrual cramps. I suffered with really heavy bleeding, and I had no idea that there was another way, that there was another way to connect to my body. And there was another way to actually embrace the power and what you were saying, right? Like the reverence and respect. Mm-hmm. Of what it means to be a woman and what it means to be a person that can carry life. So, I definitely was not set up in that sense in my home that also had its whole own handfuls of types of abuse and types of traumas and all these ways that, you know, all of this subtle levels of programming just really stifled me from growing organically into who it was that, you know, I knew I could be. And a lot of stifling messages as well, just around what it means to be a young woman who has a voice, that has something to say, that wants to speak up, that wants to stand up, that had a natural personality of being a leader, that had a natural personality of being comfortable being in front of a crowd, and how that really needed to be intentionally blocked and shut down and shamed.
Wow. That is a painful existence, as you're mentioning it, as far as what it does to the mind, number one, but it also what it does to the human spirit. When you put a spirit within restrictions, it becomes very painful, and we see that in history, in political history as well. When you stifle the human spirit, it'll last for a certain amount of time. And then you will have a rebellion because freedom is the spirit demands and wants it. And you'll be able to hold them for a little while. A couple, 20 years, 100 years means nothing. But when the human spirit says, okay, biggest empire, Rome fell, all the others, you can go and name it, when the people, the French Revolution, all of it, I mean, just go through history. The human spirit cries for freedom. So here you are in this state of tremendous confusion. And I know that in Western Christianity, they use the Bible and religion to program women with the less than mentality, subjected to their husbands, and can't speak in church, as you said. But those are men that are not reading the Bible.
Of course.
They don't know how to read, because the Bible does not say that. Many of the most powerful women and people in the Bible were women. And they do that to control the women and to keep her less than. But here you are going through all of this as a young woman, pain, physical pain, mental pain, all of it, just a space. And you mentioned a little abuse and all of that type of other things on top of the programming of less than. So that is a tremendous, powerful place to be deposited as a individual. Again, we don't know that until much later on. How did this begin to this young woman? What did it begin to do to her mentally, spiritually? What happened in there, in that space of all of that trauma that you were experiencing as a young woman?
Yeah, wow. I mean, what it really did to me was create a fragmented existence. Because we have our programming, but then there's the truth that cannot be stifled, right? Like there's the truth of our human nature. And I mean, the good sides of our human nature that want to connect and want to explore and want to express. So the fact that, for example, that I wasn't allowed to date, and I think of the word allow so funny now, because really I believed that they were allowed to tell me that I wasn't allowed, right? So essentially, you know, all it didn't mean that I didn't date. It didn't mean that I didn't want to connect with men and explore romantic relationships. It just meant that I had to learn to do it all in secret.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's a natural, normal, beautiful part of life, to get to know another human being. And to get to know another human being intimately. So, of course, the rules didn't actually stop me from doing anything. It taught me to be very fragmented. It taught me to live double lives, triple lives, quadruple lives. And it taught me how to be a certain way around certain people that wanted me to present myself as this good girl and as this certain version of myself. And then it taught me how to turn around and find these spaces throughout my university years of trying to really figure out who I was and cultivate a truer sense of who I was. So I was literally going to youth group on Friday night and then going out to a party afterwards. And then I was going to hit up a slam poetry performance at a cafe on Saturday night and listening to people, like getting the same kind of exuberance and spiritual connection, you know, a deeper connection than what I was getting in these other quote unquote, you know, spiritual places. And then I was going to church on Sunday morning and not really wanting to be there, but feeling like I had to maintain some kind of social image, and I had to maintain what and who my parents expected me to be, because I hadn't yet really come into my full power of recognizing that my life was mine and that I got to be a co-creator of deciding, you know, who I was and how I wanted to be. So for quite a few years, kind of in those late teen years, as well as in those early 20s into my university years, so much fragmentation, much different channels of life, which was both really exciting to be going out and like connecting in all of these expansive ways. And then also really, really, really painful to be in spaces and situations that I didn't really want to be in, but I felt afraid to disappoint people. And I felt all of the inner conditioning of the religious upbringing, that I was bad and I was evil and something bad would happen to me if I didn't get myself in a certain type of particular building during a certain type time of window on a Sunday morning, right? Yeah. I did not yet understand that God was everywhere in all things, and there was so many other ways to connect to divinity.
Yeah, that's why people like me, or PKs we call it, those pastors' kids, are a little different children.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go in much. Yeah, we're a little different, you know. So here you are, and you're in the midst of the growth and the confusion. Talk to me as to your college, when you're leaving home from high school, the field that you picked, and why did you pick that particular field when you were in the space of high school, looking into your future? Why did you pick it? What made you decide to take that particular, you know, road in your life?
Wow, I'm going to answer that question in two ways, which is why I thought I picked it at the time, but why I know now that I picked it.
Yeah,
which is at the time I actually didn't. At the time, I actually didn't leave home to go to college. I stayed in my hometown and I kept living at home with my parents while I attended the university that was only a 10-minute bus ride away. So I was still actually at home in that childhood bedroom in those college years. And I picked to do an education degree. So I picked to do a degree that would lead me into a stable, predictable career of being a school teacher. And at the time, I picked it because I really enjoyed the mental stimulation of being in my own high school English classes. And I had a teacher, like so many of us do, that I really adored and loved, who was my grade 11 high school English teacher. And I loved nothing more than kind of being in this brilliant think tank of her space, where we got to explore all of these different texts and different poems and different songs and, you know, what it was that these texts were really teaching us about who we were and about life. And so I really loved that energy. And I think just like a lot of young people, when you're thinking about what your options are, you're really only exposed to these like very traditional linear type paths. And you think it's going to all be so simple. Right. And so it just felt like this is perfect. This is right for me. And I think that it also satisfied in my younger self, this like desire to be like a good girl. And this desire to be like, I'm going to be a good girl and I'm going to go teach little children in a little school. And that's like a proper little career to have.
Yeah.
And I'll get summers off. That's also going to be great.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. And then also that idea of like, then I get to be a good person who helps people. Right. Like that's a good job where people will think of me well because I'm such a helper to others. And now I look back on the me that made that decision and I see that there was a lot of those threads of once again, wanting to be good, wanting to be a certain way, wanting to make these right kind of choices for myself. But I also truly and deeply know that it was absolutely a part of the cosmic plan of developing some really grounded teaching skills within me for the type of teaching I do now. Because now I am a teacher and I am a teacher in the sense that I use all of those skills that I learned in that degree, as well as the few years that I did stay on the traditional path and managed to teach in a school for a little bit before breaking out of it, to really pivot and do what I'm doing now, which is providing the education that women really need to be getting that is not going to be provided in a traditional teaching session. So I'm so grateful for that younger me that made the decision to get an education degree from her perspective, because it has served me very, very well throughout the wild unfolding of my Dharma.
I think the reason why I ask people that question, Emily, because to me, it is one of the key junctions in their life. Because that tool, what decision they make there, the tools that they gather, the information, plays a major part in their development, in their in the space where they're now able to turn around and utilize all of that that they made there. That's why I think it's a fascinating question to ask, because it tends to have the person go back in and search. And when you see and hear the answer, it is very powerful to see that what they gathered from that decision is still in use, because I believe everything that we go through is for a purpose, is to be used at some point in our life. And we will rely back on that information. You're in school, you've becoming a teacher, you're working pretty good with the programming, safe, and you know, everything is doing well. And life, you're just drifting along, as they said, and you're not a co-creator at this time. And that's the beautiful thing, that once we become awake, we are creating purposefully, I tell people, instead of just drifting along. So here you are. You're drifting along in school. You're having a good time. You're partying. I know you're partying because I was doing the same thing. And we're all moving forward. Talk to me as to how did this young man, this woman here, Emily, what were your thought patterns in relationship to your body and spirituality at this juncture of your life? Were you aware of it coming slowly, or you had no knowledge of that combination? Even though you were in church, there's still this connection of spirituality with your body and your life. Were you aware of it at that time?
Ooh, wow. What a wonderful question. At this point in my life, I was suffering a lot in the mental conflict of the guilt I felt related to what I had been taught Christianity was about. Yep. When in fact, God is really just loves us. And the way I was living. So my perception of, you know, my own kind of quote unquote spiritual practice at that time was, you know, getting in bed every night and just trying to run through a laundry list of all the things I did that was wrong to try to ask for forgiveness. So it was such a self-deprecating type of relationship with myself, where every day at the end of the day, you go, what did I do bad? What did I do wrong? What was bad about me? What was wrong about me today? And kind of the negative impact that that has on your self-worth and your self-perception. But really within that, I also had started going to yoga. And I went to my first yoga class when I was 16. And I was always very independent, despite, you know, kind of the situation I was raised in. We were actually given a lot of freedom to navigate and go through the city. So I would like take the bus 45 minutes by myself in high school, in university, over to this yoga studio. And I was going to this yoga studio.
Why, Emily, were you going to?
Yeah, because I had felt this intuitive pull in, this intuitive draw that is just really beyond any kind of concrete reason.
Okay.
Right? Other than I wanted to try it out of curiosity. And then the first time I went, I was hooked, in the sense that I've just got a sense of peace and connection and liberation in my body, in my felt experience. A relaxation that is like something I've never felt. And I just wanted to keep going back and continuing to get on the mat and continuing to move and sweat and feel my breath and come back to the space of peace again and again and again. Yeah. And this really was at 16. There was,
this was at 16. You started that, I want to say that relationship with your body.
Yes.
And it was there at 16 years old.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, but of course it grew very slowly over time, right? So it wasn't like I went and then I had the full agency of an adult and I was just there all the time. It grew very, very slowly over time, but that continued to maintain itself through those years of university, through my early 20s. Once again, with no real understanding of the foundation that was getting laid. And it was in those classes that I started having somatic experiences when I didn't even know what that word somatic experiences was. And what I mean by that was experiences of finding myself erupting into tears with no understanding of why I was crying, right? But just knowing that the body was going through stages of release and the body was going through stages of unwinding that my mind really didn't have any kind of words for, but was bringing me home, right? Was guiding me home to a sense of my true nature, which was the life force energy that moves within our body. And that there was a totally different path than what I had been raised in, to connect to something beautiful that was within me and something that brought me into my own peaceful state that allowed me to connect with others in a way that felt more authentic and that also felt more loving. So that was all going on at the same time, but I was still, like so many women, completely in the dark in terms of my cyclical awareness and my menstruation. And I worked at a grocery store at the time and I would collapse in the aisles while I was stocking the shelves from period pain. And I would need to go into the staff bathroom and just take 20 minutes by myself and my boss not noticing or anyone else being aware of how much I was suffering, because like so many women, you know, this intense physical process is going on and you're just told to ignore it. And to completely pretend that everything was okay. So I was still having these huge, loud messages of suffering from my womb and just continuing to move through life, just deciding that I had to deal with this. I had to put up with it.
Yeah. My sister, Emily, my sister Jackie, she had, she was going through menopause in her teens. And I remember her being in pain, and this young girl didn't know, our society didn't know how to deal with her. And, you know, she had to walk with that pain for many years until someone was able to give her the information that she needed to help her understand what was going on. So I know that women, you guys are much, I believe, are much stronger than any man can ever be. Because if men had to go through, and you've heard this before, childbirth, there would be no kids. I mean, there'd be no kids. very few of us would probably even want to try that. So, you know, you guys are at a different level, I believe. So here you are, you're going through, and again, you are one of your, you know, a couple of toes, if you will, are in this spiritual dance, while the other aspect of your body is not, and your mind, you're not connecting yet, but your toes are still in there, and you are being pulled even deeper as you're, talk to me as to when you found yourself, when your whole half of your body was in there, and the other half was out, where you're getting it, and it's the light, the revelation of what you have access to is becoming more real to you. Because I know, reason why I'm asking this, because you need to have that experience first before you be able to answer the next question I have for you. So talk to me when you realize that you got more than half of your body in this thing, but you're still not understanding all of it at this time.
Wow, what a powerful question. You know, things get worse and worse before they get better.
Yep.
And the body whispers until it screams.
Yes. That's so, why I asked that.
Yeah. The whispering of the awakening was intensifying and intensifying. And something I'm really grateful to my parents too, because I think so often we can think about all the traumas that they dumped on us and not remember the gifts that they also gave us.
Yes.
Was all the way from those early years, despite all the programming, a lot of encouragement to really letting me be free with making any kind of non-traditional decisions I wanted. So I really wanted to travel after university. And I saved up my money and I did what I needed to do. And I actually moved to New Zealand for a year. And when I was there in New Zealand, once again, it was just giving me more of that expansive awareness of the way life could be outside of my initial programming, and giving me more opportunities to just really like explore and connect and be. I think like a lot of people, it took me many, many years still to come to really fully shed like the perceived guilt and like sinner mentality that just being enjoyed, like things that you feel good are bad. Like that's a way to really mess with the mind, that anything that makes you feel good is bad. Right.
Yeah.
So I was continuing to go on that journey and once again, like continuing to connect with my body. And so things like yoga and meditation and really exploring like, you know, non-toxic living and natural living and it, you know, kind of essentially just becoming a little bit more of a hippie in my lifestyle was just kind of really fostering. Yeah, exactly. Was fostering more of these skills and just more of this attuned awareness of like what it means to take care of yourself holistically. So, you know, the fact that the food that you eat really matters, that moving your body really matters, and just doing things, you know, that at the time felt so foreign, like just trying to meditate, just like this idea of like sitting and being with your breath and just finding that those tools were really supporting me. But still, I would say not totally connected to the body yet, right?
Yeah.
Like all of these threads of information were there, but that's the beginning. You have to just begin to logically explore these ideas before they really start to sink in on a cellular level. right?
Yeah.
And really mm-hmm. take over in like your energy body and really take over in your own somatic ability to really feel energy in your body. First, you have to connect to the outer layer, which is the physical. So yeah. That's where I was at.
The reason why I'm walking you through this is because it is your story is a familiar theme to it with me. And that is why I'm walking you to it, because it is a place where I had to learn how to deal with guilt, because guilt was a good friend of mine. Mm. And it loved me so much that it would hug me and kept my company all day, all night, and would have my thoughts all over the place because of my lifestyle with that I was living and my spiritual upbringing. And so I understand exactly what you're talking about, because I am walking you there because I know you're going to have to deal with it. And so I want to know how did you deal with it? So here we are. You are getting closer to what I call your day of visitation. The day of visitation comes when we are stripped of our ability, meaning that whatever situation that enters into our space that will just knock us down, and we're sitting there going, what the hell just happened? You know, and it is at that place that I'm walking you to, because I know this dance, because we all do that. And I want people to understand that it's okay to be like this. And those that are listening to us, if you're here and doing, it's okay. Perfection is the enemy of growth, I tell people. Don't allow perfection to cause you to, you know, just your pregnancy to abort your pregnancy of who you are. Do not allow it. So here you are, you're seeing and hearing this conversation, and it's built in with nothing with perfection. It's just life and coming to the awareness of one's self. So Emily, here you are, you're dancing, you're at the drum circle, you are doing all the things that us hippie do when we're traveling. You're doing the moon dance, you're doing all of it, girl.
Going to the music festivals, learning to surf.
Yeah, all of it, and you got it all. So talk to me as to when your day of visitation came, and in what format did it show up in?
Oh, I can't wait to tell this part of the story, because you know that there is a precise day. You know that there is a precise moment of the final breakdown and the final breakthrough.
Yes.
So I moved home from New Zealand after a year of, as we said, kind of exploring all the arts of hippies, if you will. The snowboarding, the surfing, the dancing, the partying, the connecting, all that stuff. And I returned home and essentially kind of kept moving on in the traditional path of life of, okay, like, I guess it's time for me to be a school teacher. Yeah. So I accepted, you know, my first job. I was teaching elementary, and I'll never forget leaving that first day and just like calling my best friend in the car crying, just being like, I think I've made a huge mistake with my life. I don't think this is it. I like really did not enjoy it today. Like, is this the next 30 years of my life? Like, what have I done? Like, what am I doing? And then, you know, I kind of made myself give it the good old college try for a few years. And I would work a job. And at the end, the principal would say, do you want to come back next year? And I would say, nope, I'm going to go off into the woods for 2 months with my tent and try to figure out who I am and what I'm doing. And then I would go back in September to a new school and a new job and try it all over again. And this continued on. And I was so stressed. I was so burnt out. This was not working for me. And it was not working for me in the sense that I was really trying to convince myself, okay, well, you're an adult now. I mean, I was like 25, right? Like 26. Yeah. I'm like, you're an adult now. And so what you're supposed to do with your life is you're supposed to accept the fact that now you have increased pay and less freedom. And you're just supposed to basically use your money and you don't get to travel as much, you don't have as much free time, but then you can use that more money you're making to do things like go on nice holidays and not go on scrappy little backpacking holidays, like accept the new balance of your new life.
Yeah.
So I was so stressed out and, you know, I would try to make it to yoga when I could, but my pain was my body was overwhelmed with pain. And I had this crazy intense neck pain that, you know, I actually in some ways my subconscious self loved, because, you know, it's we love sometimes being a victim and we sometimes love being broken. We love, oh, there's this thing that's really wrong with me. And so say, oh, I have this neck pain and I have neck problems and I have neck issues and I can't do this and I can't do that because I have these neck pains. But it was my body really screaming at me. Now I know between, you know, my mind, my third eye and my heart chakra, this powerful center of the throat, just like something is misaligned and something is not working here. And so really the intensity of all of this misalignment really kept getting louder and louder and louder. And then I booked myself a trip to Panama over spring break. And I thought, you know, this is the way it is. This is what I get to do. I get to spoil myself with this kind of trip. And then 2 days before the flight, I was so stressed because of my job that I blew out my neck. And I had the most intense, crazy spasm. And it put me flat on my back and I had to cancel my trip. And I spent all of spring break flat on my back in my bed, back in my mom's basement, because by this point in time, my parents had actually separated a year earlier. And my family had gone through a grand rupturing of really talking about some difficult stuff and really starting to acknowledge the pain and the trauma of our upbringing that led to my parents' separation. So I moved back in with my mom to be with her and support her, because it was just kind of the random timing of me needing to move anyways. So I'm like 26 years old, flat on my back in my childhood house, just going, this is not it. And I'm quitting my job and I'm leaving my career and I'm going to move to Morocco. And everyone was just like, what? And I was like, don't ask me. I don't know either. I'm going. Have you been there before? No. Why there? Why not? Because this is not working. So, you know, after the lying in the bed for 10 days over my one holiday, you know, or not the one holiday, but one of the brief moments in the school year where you get a reprieve to catch your breath, this was the decision I made. So I told my principal I would not be returning. I threw out some info to some friends. I found a job teaching English as a second language in Morocco. And I packed up a suitcase and I got on a plane to Africa.
Wow.
And I had no clue what was in store for me. I had no idea how long I would be staying. I had no idea really like the true unfolding that would happen there. But I essentially was catapulted on a 4-year sacred journey of my spiritual awakening and founding the business that I now run full time.
Wow. That's a powerful story. So talk to me, Emily, because I know you still have much going on in your life, because you now have this revelation where you're going to start learning about who you are, but you're going to have to start loving all of those things that you were depositing inside of you, that from your religious background and all the other guilts and all the different things. When you began to this journey, when you were called, I think many of us, we don't know that that decision was already made many years ago before we got here, but that's just my thing. So when you move there, talk to me as to what type of energy, Emily, did you encounter? You're off of the plane. You're walking into this land, this new space. What was that preeminent energy that greeted you in Africa and said, hello?
It was this golden fog that lit up the entire sky. And the bustling, wild traffic and the smell of spices. And I'm not even trying to be cliche here, right? Like smell of spices and just like animals along the side of the road and smiling, welcoming people and the chanting of the Quran within the taxi that you get into and the fabric that laces his windows and the mosques on the road and seeing everyone kind of vending their fruit on the side and just being like, wow, I am in a completely different type of space where everything is alive.
Yeah.
And
how did you feel?
People are present. Yeah. People are present. Everything is alive. And I felt open and ready for whatever this place was going to teach me. I felt invigorated in myself of there is a different way to live. Yeah.
As you begin to live. Yeah, there is another way to live. And this is what this conversation is about. Waking up and living in the present. And when you live there, this is what this whole thing, guys, and Threads of Enlightenment is about, is the other way to live. Okay, Emily, you're here. And I know how this process goes. You are going boom. And now you have no place to run. You have to now face yourself. All that it is, the pain. All the pain that you are carrying and moving from place to place with. All of the emotional, the spiritual damage, all of it, the physical. Now you're going to have to deal with it. What? How did you begin to deal with it, number one, and how did you deal with it?
Wow, what a question. And I just love to joke around and be like, how did you know what happened next? How did you know that that's exactly how I continue to evolve? And I know you're going to love this. It's because Morocco gave me more free time than I had ever had in my life. Yeah. I had as much free time as I had, you know, when I was a child. Because my, you know, my work was, I was working about 18 hours a week, but that was considered like a full-time teaching gig.
Yeah.
And so I had more free time than I had had in over a decade. And the total open, vast space of not knowing anybody to just completely create. Because what I've even learned now within my journey of where I am now is that, you know, the feminine essence of creation needs space, just needs openness, just needs like a blank canvas on which to actually begin creating. And so I had all of this openness and all of this space that just gave me time to really start feeling and exploring. And as you said, realizing, wow, all of my problems have followed me all the way across the ocean. And all of the same patterns are there with me. So it's not just about picking up and going to a new space and thinking that that's going to save you from all of your problems. It's like I realized what I left behind and what wasn't me. And then everything that I did bring with me that was still within me and still operating. And there was a lot of time to literally just practice the art of simply being with myself and practice the art of just being with me on the beach, looking at the sunset and giving myself some space to cry, some space to feel, time to journal, time to be. And what also followed me was a lot of my own dysfunctional relationship mechanisms and dating and relating to men and all of these other kind of things and all the ways I was looking for love outside of me and around me. And the way that I also hoped that being in this place would just finally give me what I was looking for, you know, a stable partner, a relationship, because I want to have babies because I'm a woman in her 20s and I'm only going to be fertile for this much longer. And really like having this controlling mindset over the way that I thought life was supposed to go and like still wanting to grip to these traditional kind of ways that they're supposed to unfold. And so in all of this space and in all of this free time, and in all of these things that were bubbling up and out of me in good new rebirths, as well as these like painful facing of myself and challenges of, you know, wow, confronting, you know, where I was really at. I had a lot of time and space to do my yoga practice. I had a lot of time mm-hmm. and space to do my meditation. And basically, I kind of fell into my own years of self-study, my yeah. own years of picking up some texts and picking up some books about spirituality, picking up some books about yoga, and continuing to really deepen my understanding of those practices, but then also picking up a book called Taking Charge of Your Fertility. And mm-hmm. in that book, Taking Charge of Your Fertility, I wanted to pick it up because I felt quite disempowered as a woman in like the pressure of the biological clock. And I think a lot of women do yeah. actually make choices and force themselves maybe into marriages and relationships that aren't actually in alignment with their highest self, because they feel once again the pressure of like, I need to yeah. make this happen. I need to make my life go a certain way. I want to have children. And so it was all kind of within this chaotic blender of learning about fertility and learning mm-hmm. about my body and finding out you actually can't get pregnant every day of the cycle, and weaving that in with my yoga practice and weaving that in with meditation and weaving that in with this new vast openness that I'd never heard of, which was these feminine approaches to spirituality, right? Mm-hmm. These feminine aspects of the fact that our cycle is truly magical. The fact yeah. that it is not shameful or cursed to be a woman, but really all of these other stories I'd never heard of, like Adam's first wife, Lilith,
yeah.
mm-hmm. right? Who was with him yeah. before he met Eve, who decided yeah. that she actually didn't want to be subservient and who picked up and left the Garden of Eden and found her true power in the dark wilderness, mm-hmm. right? And finding out that there was all these other mythologies and all these other frameworks of belief that really, as we're talking about, eradicated these senses of shame and judgment out of me. Because for me, the path of the womb and the path of coming into your cyclical essence and into your feminine body is not trying to get up and out of your body to any kind of new plane, but actually mm-hmm. sinking down into the acceptance of your humanness and sinking down into the acceptance of every aspect of you and every part of you, that you are light and that you are dark, because feminine energy and essence is all about descending and reconnecting into the earth yeah. and really fully integrating that. Sorry, go ahead. So I keep going
Go ahead. Go ahead. Because I wanted to interject here, because initially when we started the conversation, you said your body around this time housed much pain. How were you what was happening to your body when it was your cyclical time? How were you managing yourself with the addition of all the information, the exposure of all these other things? How did you manage your body, Emily? How did you able to deal with all of those past things? How did you control it? Stuff like that.
Yeah, well, what I came to see is that there's so much power in shifting how we decide we're going to relate to sensations in our body. And yeah. it wasn't about taking some herbal tincture to make all the pain go away. It was about allowing mm-hmm. myself to feel it. Because trauma yeah. is energy that is stuck in the body. And trauma yeah. is simply energy that needs to complete its action by mm-hmm. actually being felt and processed and therefore released. And so I started to allow myself more range of emotion to feel, and was no longer numbing like so many people do in so many different ways of wanting to get away from these sensations that were not my preference. Yeah. And that did not feel quote unquote good, and rather opened myself up to the full range of all the things that you feel when you allow your pelvis to melt and you yeah. allow it to express what it wants to express. And so giving myself really sacred times during my bleed to fully feel the pain and to fully mm-hmm. feel the pain until the idea and the label of pain really went away. And it was, I'm just yeah. feeling intense. emotions. I'm feeling bright experiences, and I'm going to let my womb unwind and release and let go and open, because the yoni is this powerful channel, this powerful energy center. And so really coming into that space. And then, as you kind of said, realizing I'm not going to have any kind of shame in this magnificent, fertile, bleeding, sexual, spiritual body of mine that I was created to be in. Right? Mm. There's nothing shameful about this body that was created to be this way, with these functionings, with this physiology, and coming to really see that, like, my blood was holy and my blood was divine. And it was a sacred time for me as a woman every month to have a spiritual experience with myself. And wow, welcoming the cascade. Yeah, welcoming the cascade of everything that happens, and then really finding out, wow, this is like programmed into the blueprint of our body, is that this is not a curse. This is a sacred portal once a month to retreat, to unwind, and to connect to really the spiritual messages that come through while you're in the state of opening and release. So essentially, I learned through breath, through movement, through meditation, how to relax my muscles, my bones, my ligaments, my connective tissues, and create experiences of peace and balance and power in my body. Beyond just the moments I was on the mat, but really in all of these human experiences, like menstruation and cycling, that continue to unfold in our life.
If you guys were listening to us, Emily just gave to you the key to overcoming every single situation in your entire life. It comes, I'm dead serious. It comes first within your situation. It is your perspective that needs to change. And let me explain. When your perspective changes concerning your situation, it takes away the power that your other perception had given to that situation and that whole thing. And when you switch that, now once you switch your perspective, you then incorporate tools to assist you to get your desired outcome. She told you about those tools. Her meditation, her breath, her breathing, her exercise, the yogas. These were tools that assisted her shift in her perception concerning the pain. The other perception was this was just painful and so forth. But when she switched it to see the spiritual aspect of her within that information, that situation, everything changed. And so it is, she laid it out right in front of you. If you were listening, you would hear. There is power in that story that she gave. There is freedom in there. Change your perspective and you will change your life. Because what you will do is then put in place the tools that are necessary to assist you to accomplish what perception you have just switched. And you took this. Most women will just focus on the pain. You took that and created a mentality of spiritualism, of power, of connection, and you initiated all the tools to assist you to bring you the awareness in your body, the expression, change your whole world, man. That is powerful stuff, Emily, that you had explained to them. So as you began to learn about you and this specific revelation. I love the fact it's this type of revelation, because a lot of people don't come out with this type of revelation out of their journey. And that is one of the reasons that drew me to you, Emily, was like, wow, I got to talk to her because of this uniqueness that is you. As you began to gather and take all of these other information, and then you begin to, I tell people, we take the information that we're learning, and then we put it on, and we create our own little fit, our suit, our mm-hmm. Our own story to this, all the wisdom that we're collecting. As you put this thing together, what made you decide, Emily says, you know what? I want to make this a class, a program, so that I can reach other people. What made you decide that? And what was the conversation that helped you in making that decision?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, along the journey of all of this, of course, there's all these little tangents that we could go off with in the left and the right, yeah. and trying to keep it somewhat streamlined. But essentially, like in this entire journey and in this phase of my life, I was also living in this super hippie kind of touristy part of Morocco where there's a lot of people that come for holidays. And so there's some hotels that offer yoga classes and, you know, some different guest house that like to offer yoga classes, etc. So people had been starting to ask me to teach yoga. And I was like, I'm not a yoga teacher. And they were like, I thought you were. And that went on for about 6 months as I'm like dawdling around my mind teaching English at a school. Can you teach yoga for me? Can you do yoga for us? No, I don't do that. Okay. I thought you did. Before I finally was like, adoy, maybe it's a message. Maybe you should teach yoga. So I actually went over to India for a few months and deepened my practice with teacher training and really immersing myself in a lot of Buddhist teachings and doing a silent retreat and all of these other things that just continue to support me along my own kind of foundation and being able to facilitate spaces for others to contemplate and others to feel and others to open and others to connect and awaken. So, you know, I did eventually start teaching yoga, just some basic flow classes. And then along that path, as I was continuing to spiral down and into understanding all of these female lineages of spirituality that were all around connecting to the moon and all around connecting to the cycle and all around connecting to these earth-based teachings of, as you were kind of saying, these powerful female figures within spirituality, really understanding that there was these womb priestesses, the power of Mary Magdalene and who she really was, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, understanding all of, you know, these teachings that were out there, it just was very natural and very normal in the sense that it wasn't a choice I made to do this. It was a breaking forth of a dam. It was a boiling up and out. It was an irresistible thing to do where I just called up a girlfriend and I said, do you want to host a women's circle at the yoga studio with me? And she was like, okay, sure, of course. And we just threw something together and got together with a dozen women and sat in circle. And I just said, did you know that menstruation doesn't need to be awful? It can actually be peaceful and powerful. It can actually be something you look forward to. It can actually be a spiritual portal. Did you know that you're actually always on your cycle and your hormones are actually always functioning outside of the days you're bleeding? Did you know ovulation is the main event of your cycle, not menstruation? Like, and then their minds were just as blown. And so we did it again the next month. We met again and we explored teachings and connected and sang songs and touched our wombs. And that continued one foot in front of the other with not much of a plan, more of just a trust and a faith that this was God's work and I was going to do God's work. And I was going to teach women in the fields, not in the chapel.
Yeah.
Right. And we were going to get together and just remember the power that we hold and the truth of all the lessons that await for us in our womb. And so it just slowly started to evolve. Another women's circle, another circle, an online workshop, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. I think I have a thesis, if you will, on this type of thing. I believe that God saw the need and he needed someone that he can trust to go through the journey, and that will come out and not hoard the information, but will understand the purpose of the journey. And the purpose was for them to become a servant. And because he can trust you, he allowed you to go through that so that you can come out and be where you are today and experience joy, experience all of the energies and the things that you're experiencing today, life. The I tell people, when you come to this place of being a servant, everything is different. Conversation is different. An encounter with someone becomes different. The wind is different. A bite in a fruit is different. A food tastes different. Everything is alive. And I invite those that are listening to this conversation, come and experience it. Those, all of the women that listen to this program, I was attracted to Emily's energy. You guys don't know the story, but I'll tell you briefly. There's a page that we go to and people are a part of that network and so forth. And I went to my page to get something to answer someone. And Emily's picture was in the corner to the left. And for some reason, it jumped in front of my eyes. And I knew that she had to be here because there are some of you that are listening to this podcast that need her and need her desperately. And it is my hope that you would get in touch with her and connect so that she can introduce you to the power that is you, that you may be struggling with the pain. You may be struggling with your womanhood. You may be struggling with all of these questions or even those short, corrupt thinking that they have been programming you in and with. But here is someone that has walked the journey, went through the corruption, and she is given birth to herself, and she stands here and she can hold your hand, walk with you, guide you, and to educate you about you and the power that is you. Emily, thank you so much for coming to Threads of Enlightenment and spending your energy and your wonderful time with me. I am so honored to have you here.
Thank you so much, Ken. I was so glad to be here. And I'm just really looking forward to the continuing expansion of threads that come out of this conversation. So thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you.